Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Mahani Jahangiri, and welcome to Conversations with My Dog.
Today's guest is Dave Wardell from the charity Thin Blue Paw. You might remember him from Britain's Got Talent in 2019, where he performed incredible magic tricks with his ex-service dog, Finn. Finn is a German Shepherd and retired police dog of the Hertfordshire Constabulary in England. In October 2016, Finn and his handler confronted a youth who was suspected of being armed. The dog was stabbed and the police officer injured to the hand with a large knife. The dog required emergency surgery, but he returned to duty 11 weeks later. The case received widespread media coverage and initiated a popular campaign to improve legal protection for animals in public service, resulting in a 2019 Act of Parliament known as Finn's Law. The Thin Blue Paw Foundation protects, celebrates, and rehabilitates both serving and retired police dogs from across the United Kingdom. Many people are unaware that retired police dogs do not receive financial support in their retirement from the force, meaning the responsibility for their care and vet bills falls solely to their ex-handler or new owner. Unable to get pet insurance due to their working life, many are left with ongoing vet bills, which can amount to thousands. The foundation provides much needed financial support to these unsung canine heroes and their owners to enable them to have a long and happy retirement. Now, it is an honor to have Dave and Finn on the show today. Hello, Dave. Hello, Finn. I'm a Paw.
Hello. That was quite an intro, wasn't it?
Oh, gosh. Oh, oh, exhale, okay. inhale, exhale.
Yeah. And there's actually stuff that we've done that's not in the intro. There's stuff that we've done and charity stuff that we've done and crazy stuff that we've done that's not in there. So there's loads more as well.
There's loads more. I mean, where do we start? Can we start with potentially with first Thin Blue Paw? What is your role in Thin Blue Paw?
So I'm one of the founding trustees. It was set up because when we were pushing for Finn's Law, the new law for service animals, it felt right to do something for these animals when they were in retirement and see if we could influence stuff while they were serving. But we were kind of warned off at the beginning by some influential people in politics saying, well, if you do that now, there might be some MPs that turn around and say, well, they don't need a law. They're protected through this charity and this program and whatever else. So actually, we held off.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Which felt sad. How political can that be?
Oh, I know. But politics is just a big game of chess. So it was a great bit of advice in the end. But what it means is, you know, we've now set this charity up. We've been going for 7 months, 8 months. It's been a huge success so far. It was very, very needed. There's a few local charities that help service animals, but there was a massive hole nationally, and the charity fills that hole. There's so much we hope to do as well with the charity.
And it's incredible. So I had no idea that Thin Blue Paws, how do you say, developed after your appearance on Britain's Got Talent, or was it already in the making?
We knew that we were going to do something. Yeah, we weren't quite sure what or when. And then I mean, we really used our appearance on Britain's Got Talent as a to raise awareness for the new law, for Finn's law, and due to our appearance on Britain's Got Talent, what is Finn's law became one of the top Google searches in 2019, which is bonkers, absolutely bonkers,
absolutely crazy.
I know, but that's the sort of platform that you've got with a show like that. It's incredible. But we also used it to start our campaign, which we call Finn's Law Part Two, which is to increase sentences, or the maximum sentences available for all animal welfare cases in the UK. So the charity wasn't even on the register, you know, on the radar in that respect. That came a little while after, but obviously we've used the success and Finn's fame to get where we are now.
And so can you explain exactly before Finn's Law and after Finn's Law, what is the development? I heard that dogs are not service dogs are not recognized as actual sentient living beings prior to Finn's Law. They're a thing, they're an accessory, is that correct? A bit like animals in labs, they don't have a soul.
That's right. Well, I mean, I'd seen cases come up previously where dogs had been attacked and nothing really happened to the offender. And when Finn was attacked, I watched closely with what was going to happen. His offender was charged with criminal damage, which immediately brings the comparison with, you know, my feeling a loving dog who'd saved my life being treated the same as if someone had smashed a pane of glass or punctured a tire, which is absolutely insane when you think about it. You know, Finn is a sentient being. He does feel pain. He's bonded to me. He was looking after society that night, and yet he was treated as if he was just a chattel. Now, well, once we told the public about that, they were furious. So what happened was, a guy went to court. There was all sorts of court can be a real circus sometimes. And he was found guilty of all the offences. So attacking me and attacking Finn, or criminal damage to Finn. He got 4 months for stabbing me in the hand, and he got nothing for what he did to Finn. He was found guilty of what he did to Finn, but he got nothing, which I think is insane because, you know, by far to me anyway, the worst thing that happened that night was what happened to Finn. And yet he got nothing for that.
It's unbelievable. Do you think that dogs would have a little bit more value in British society? I thought dogs are like the man's biggest friend in Britain. I mean, I'm Swiss and we always look up to Britain. You know, you have gun dogs, you know, traditionally dogs have always been, you know, like the Queen's corgis and everything. I mean, didn't she say something about, you know, like, wouldn't she get up and say, this is absolutely ridiculous? How come the dogs have still no value?
I mean, I'm sure the Queen had something to say about it, but she has to be very careful what she says in public. And ultimately, the Queen did sign off on the bill. So although that's a formality, I would hope that she was very supportive of it. I agree with you. You know, dogs are a massive thing in the UK. They play a huge role in millions and millions of households in the UK. I think a lot of it was, I don't mean this to sound nasty, but I think it was ignorance. I think people just didn't know until we told them, and we had a massive platform on which to tell them, and social media was much bigger than it had ever been at that point to make people aware. And until that point, I don't think people knew. People were shocked. People were genuinely shocked. How can these dogs, you know, whether it be guide dogs or border force dogs or PTSD dogs or police dogs, you know, why are they treated this way? So, I mean, that's part of the reason the campaign was such a huge success.
I saw, obviously, we all saw Simon Cowell's face, and he couldn't help himself. And he is an absolute dog lover. I mean, I had Pip Thompson on the show, and she campaigned with, with Simon, and he's, you know, gave £50,000 to Humane Society International for the dog meat train and all that. But it really, you must give him credit. I mean, the guy is 100%
absolutely,
behind dog.
Pip's lovely as well. We've met Pip a number of times. She's lovely.
Oh, she's phenomenal. I mean, what she has achieved as a journalist, and she needs to stay neutral in all this. And then she went down to South Korea and she was part of this farm, and it changed her life. And yet she said, I still have to stay neutral. I have to be careful that I don't look like an activist. And it's hard. And I think with Simon Cowell, the thing is that I have tried contacting him so many times on numerous occasions for, you know, with the Chinese dog meat trade and all that. And he does need to look quite neutral in everything, because it is such a big show. But I think when he grabs the opportunity, he does, and he presents it so cleverly on a platform like the Palladium, you know, and it becomes a show in itself, and it's wrapped in magic. And I think the whole audition was phenomenal. It just showed your relationship you had with Finn.
I think that's a key. Yeah. I think that's a key part. You know, if I'd have gone on there as, and I was pretty poor, if I'd have gone on there as a poor magician, I'd have been booed off the stage. But if you add Finn into it, if you add the fact that we were talking about human animal communication, and we were obviously we shared Finn's story and what we were using the platform for, I think that's what made it. And of course, then you had the second audition, which just had six puppies in, which I think David Walliams said you didn't really need to do anything, just come out with six puppies.
He's absolutely right, though. It's a brilliant idea. Can I ask you, was this your idea to use the pictures and the storytelling and the writing? Was the whole audition your creative idea?
No, we had lots of help. You know, you've been there. There's a huge crew of people and lots of talent there. And I think people were really keen for us to get it. We never knew we were going to get to the finals. We had no inkling, no aspirations for that. We just thought that we might get a 10-second slot on one of the shows so that I could say Finn's Law and a few people might Google it. And the fact that we, you know, in our first televised audition, we got a 10-minute slot right in the middle of the show. And, you know, it was just bonkers. It was absolutely incredible.
Goodness. I mean, I have to boast a little bit about my audition, but I don't know if you know that what happened to Robbie.
Yeah,
Robbie,
yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes.
Shoes at the end. Yes. Did you see that? Yeah, oh, he's right over there. But it was, you know, it's we couldn't have imagined this. It was real, right? We had it all. I mean, I had my audition prepared and everything. And, you know, they loved the idea of Doga. They just wanted Doga in the show. And I said to them, in the name of God, please, I haven't got any talent. And they said, no, you do have talent. And I said, but I haven't got any. I'm a yoga teacher and Doga is what I do. But Robbie doesn't do much. He just, you know, he's there. And I don't know if he's going to walk off or, you know, I don't know how he's going to respond. Well, listen to that. So listen to that. That's the funny. It's the funniest story. So as you know, it's a long, grueling audition process between, you know, at 8 in the morning, you have to be there. And then you have to go back and forth and technical and the dog and everything and the photo shoot and the filming and then back and then forth and then makeup, then another interview. It goes on and on. And by 6 o'clock on the Palladium, right? Well, guess what happened with Robbie? He had stage fright. He wouldn't wee. I took him out and I went, piddle, piddle, Robbie, piddle, piddle, piddle. And he held it. And he held it. And then I start holding it and he held it too. So by the time we came on this, I mean, you know how it is. You're on that stage and your bowels are going anyway. But I mean, Robbie was really good right to the end. But when Ant and Dec's dogs started relieving themselves, I mean, that's when Robbie just took advantage. He said, right, that's it. I'm having it. I'm taking advantage. And he saw David Walliams' shoes. And I think he just said, that's just the perfect spot to wee on.
But yeah, it was absolute television gold.
It was gold. It really literally was. And we thought, we didn't expect anything. I never thought I was going to get through the next round. I never even contemplated it because I wouldn't know what to do next. I can't just do a headstand on top of Robbie or Robbie a headstand. There's no Patsy and Ashley in this, you know. And they just said, you're through. You're through the next round. And I just panicked. And then we became the trailer for BGT. And then we went on the Lorraine show. And we had press. And I just thought, this is madness. It's madness. And people will congratulate Robbie for weeing in David Walliams' shoes. And I thought, what about Doga? What about the message of, we kind of lost the message of Doga. I actually, you know, Doga is something I do. That's my profession. And I have a book and I'm very serious about yoga for dogs. Not for dogs, for humans with their dog. But the thing is, I think the whole thing kind of went missing halfway through, you know. And so I know how it feels like and I know how overwhelming it is. And the thing is once you're in that machine, isn't it? When you're on the next round, you are organized. They organize you, don't they? They start building you up. And was there a moment where you thought, oh my God, I don't want this, or I'm terrified?
Yeah, I mean, I was terrified. You know, we were asked if we would do America's Got Talent, and I said there'd have to be a reason. I couldn't just go there for the sake of going there. And we were asked if we would do a Christmas special. And again, I said, look, if it's just for the sake of going, no. But if I can raise awareness for the next thing we're doing, then absolutely, we'll consider it. But it is such a huge amount of work, and it's really hard work and really long hours. And no, I take my hat off to the team that put it together because they are incredible. And it is a massive team. And when you're in it and you see how it's put together and how everything, although it looks chaotic, has to come together at the right point. Otherwise, it's all ruined. And like you say, they make you practice and practice and practice so that you hit your time slots. And then they say, well, we need to shave off 10 seconds. And you're like, oh. It is sometimes, yeah, sometimes you get towards, you know, by 6 p.m. or whenever it is that you're actually coming to film, you're already exhausted. And sometimes you do think, you know what, why did I do this? But for us, it was very much about Finn's Law and the campaigning side of it. So we had a reason to keep going.
So you think you made the most out of it? Because I was just wondering about Finn's Law. If you had done America's Got Talent, wouldn't that have, they didn't want to promote Finn's Law in America? Or did you negotiate that? Did you try and negotiate to spread this new movement from Britain into the US? Because that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we did. I mean, we went, Finn and I flew out to Florida in 2018 to speak to lawmakers and police chiefs out there. So they ended up doing a law themselves. So I think we might have inspired them. That was the premise of us going out there. In the end, it didn't happen because COVID and whatever else. But
Don't start with COVID. Yeah. I'm so angry with COVID at the moment. If I can speak to COVID personally, it's just so upsetting that just everything had to stop, I find. And the animals are suffering because of that.
We've got a new charity, so we're always trying to raise money, and you do have to try and get creative or try and G people up. That's the thing, to try and G people up when they're not allowed to go and do anything. It's it can be very tricky. So we can't wait for those open days and those armed forces days and the police open days and all the fates and the air shows and stuff to start up so that we can get out there.
We'll squeeze everything in summer. You'll see all the air shows and the dogs.
Yeah.
Everyone, the Zoom classes and the Zoom burn. Everybody's going to be overexhausted. Art fairs and just squeeze everything in. One Britain's Got Talent outdoors. I mean, we should just have one big party. You know what I mean? But yeah, talking about, and we do need to get back to law, and very important about what happens to retired police dogs. So what happens with those veterinary bills? And what happens with the dog handlers? So not all dog handlers will obviously remain with their dog. Is that correct? So these dogs are retiring with the age of 7 or something like that?
Yeah, so it can get quite tricky. So a German Shepherd type dog, so that includes Malinois and herders, that sort of thing, they tend to retire at about 8, providing there's no health issues with the dog. The sort of Spaniels and Labradors, which do the sniffer work, which is less impactive, they tend to work to 9, 10. They can go on a bit longer than that as well. But when it comes to retirement, not all handlers keep them on. I'd say a high percentage do, but some just can't. Some just can't do it. I had a colleague who had 11 dogs because he just couldn't let any of his dogs go. So that becomes quite a massive burden. You know, you only need a couple of bills and you're broke and trying to bend the the credit card. You know, a new knee for a dog is anywhere between £1,000, depending on the procedure you have, up to about £6,000 or £7,000. A new hip, £7,500. But then you've got the physio on top of that. Well, that's huge. I don't know many people who can afford a £7,500 operation, and you can't get insurance for these dogs because many of them come with. I know many of them come with a bite history because of what they do for a living, and many others come with pre-existing injuries from their life of work. So getting insurance for them is either impossible or prohibitively expensive. So that's where the Thin Blue Paw really steps in, helps with some of these dogs have got monthly bills, some have one-off emergency bills. And that's where we step in to help to make sure that these dogs can have the life that they deserve. And boy, they flipping deserve it. They really do. They work. They love what they do, but they work very hard in their life.
I was going to ask you, do dogs get burnout, like actual burnout, working burnout, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, Finn and I, we used to treat our rest days as exactly that. We would do next to nothing on our rest days because we had worked so hard during our time at work. So we would literally just slob on the sofa and not do anything because they do work incredibly hard. They love it, though. They do, you know, well, providing you train them right. And I do train my dogs ethically and how I think they should be trained and to get the maximum out of them whilst them still having fun. My motto was I always wanted my dog to leave a training field with a waggy tail, having had the best time of his life. And it's down to us to make sure that they do get their downtime, they do get those little massages, and they can go for a swim on their days off and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, and how many dogs do you have at the moment? You say dogs, so is it Finn?
Oh, crikey.
More.
No, we've got lots of dogs. So currently I've got my work, Finn's obviously retired now, so I've got my working German Shepherd and a Spaniel. So we've got three German Shepherds in the house. A Spaniel, a South African Mastiff, he's not very well at the moment, bless him. He's 12 years old. And a Frenchie. Is that all of them? And we've got a puppy on its way.
No.
And we've got a parrot, and we've got a cat, and we've got three kids.
No way. Oh, yes. This is like Mr. Dr. Doolittle. You know, you have a whole family.
It is.
Wonderful. So it's never boring at home.
Oh, it's hilarious.
You didn't have a boring lockdown.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's never boring and it's never quiet.
And it's never quiet. But can I just say, so you yourself, you're not retired. You're still on the force. You're still working.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, going on Britain's Got Talent doesn't automatically make you rich overnight. So I'm still a serving police officer and so is my wife. Because of the work we do, we work opposite shifts and we've got children and dogs. So the dogs and the children are never home alone. There's always one of us at home. So, I'm still very much working.
And would you find that the dogs have become a little bit more attached during lockdown? Would you say that the dogs are noticing that, well, maybe not you are so much at home, but the rest of the family, you know, have the dogs changed in behavior during lockdown?
Yeah, I think so. And I think this is a pattern that we're seeing right across the country, probably across the world, actually, but certainly across the country. And I've got friends that have got dogs and there are some genuine worries out there that, you know, how are the dogs going to cope when everyone goes back to work and back to school? I mean, the positive side of that is that our children have become much more involved in dog training so that they can sort of snatch 10 minutes away from their own four walls in their bedroom and their studies to come and break the day up and come and do some dog training. So from that point of view, the dogs and the children have become much closer. But I think there are some genuine worries out there from people that when they go back to work, the dog's been used to them being there for 24 hours a day and all of a sudden they're going to disappear for 10 hours a day.
It's incredible. That's incredible. I was going to also ask, how long does it take to train a dog to become a police dog? And from what age do they start? From what age? Puppy age?
So If they're bred to be a police dog, so Finn was, and so's my current dog, they were both bred in police puppy programs, then their mum and dad will, or their mum and dad, or their mum, if they're just with their mum, will start their training as soon as they're born. So there'll be certain things that obviously mum teaches down to them. So they can start really young for those dogs. But then once they're sort of 8, 10, 12 weeks old, they tend to go off to a foster family. And that foster family's job is to take the dog everywhere, show them everything, let them meet everybody, let them see everything, let them experience everything, let them get into every possible environment at every time of day so that nothing is a surprise to them. Last thing you want if you turn up to a job with your police dog is for them to go, oh, I've never seen a supermarket shiny floor. You want them to know what it is and know that it won't hurt them and to get on with their work. But their sort of police dog training per se probably doesn't start until they're, depending on the dog, 10, 12 months, maybe a little bit later for some dogs if they're slower to mature. And then they start proper and then they go on a course. Now, Finn went on his course quite young, just before his first birthday, but 18 months is the sort of average time for a pup to go on their course. It's a 13-week course. Where we show them everything, and then they have to pass a test at the end. It's quite a rigorous test, but then their training doesn't stop. It should never stop. It should be every day. When we went to court for our case where we were attacked, the barrister was trying to go on and on about our training and how we were lacking in training, and the judge said she wanted to put it to bed. She said, how often did you train with your dog? And I said, every time Finn came out of the van, it was an opportunity for him and I to train. So we trained every day, multiple times a day. And then that was it. She put that question to bed, which was lovely. But yeah, Finn was training right up until retirement, and he still trains now.
What does it entail exactly, training? When you say training, I'm just thinking, sit, stay still. Go, you know, I mean, what is training? What do you mean as in training? Because I wonder if Robbie would do this.
So initially it's motivating them into playing with toys. It's motivating them to be a little bit possessive of the toy, but also to freely give it up when you ask them to. It's about asking them to be motivated for food so that you have different options when it comes to reward for training. It's about teaching them to be bold and brave and fearless. And you do that as a very gradual process. That is, you have to build that up. And some of these, most of it's game play. But every now and then you'll just add a little bit of pressure to the game and to the dog. But then you need to know when to release that pressure. And normally that's by letting the dog win the reward or whatever it is. And then the dog learns that actually if they can push through a little bit more pressure, then a little bit more stress, then they get what they want. So they learn to become very balanced dogs that aren't easily riled and can cope with large amounts of stress as opposed to just a pet at home. And then we move it on from there, really. We get them into bite work and agility and obedience and search work, and they have the best life.
Can I ask you, so when, I'm sorry to go back to the trauma, but when you were attacked, what would have gone through Finn's mind? Would he have, I mean, he didn't straight away attack the attacker, did he? There must have been a process there for Finn to understand you are in harm. But he also, did you have a chance to give him a signal or did he just know, oh yeah, you're in danger? You know what I mean? Can you explain that a bit more?
I'll explain what happened. We were called to an address. It was a real rubbish phone call. Not many details were given out. Someone was worried that something might have been happening in an address, but they couldn't tell us what. When we got there, people were trying to break out of the address. Now, we didn't know at that time whether it was, you know, someone who'd been held captive was trying to get out, or whether it was a wrong'un trying to do a runner out the back, or what it was. So armed with that information, we set about trying to see if we could catch the people coming out the back. We caught up with one of them on foot, and he was carrying something that looked like a long stick. and he didn't want to put it down. So he, in my mind, he was carrying a weapon. Finn had already targeted him. Finn was on a lead, and obviously I shouted for him to stop. Identify myself as a police officer with a dog. Finn identified himself as well, and then he didn't stop. He carried on running. So something potentially has happened in that house, something serious enough for him to break out. He was carrying a weapon and he was running away. So he's ticked all the boxes for me to use force to stop him. And that force was Finn, because Finn runs a lot faster than me, and he would have caught him where there was no way I would have caught him. And so I let Finn go and stop him, but I was right behind them. So for not only for Finn's safety, but also for the safety of the fleeing suspect, I was on top of them very quickly, and I could take control of the situation. And it's a situation we've been in hundreds of times. You know, Finn had a very long rap sheet of people that he's found and chased and stopped and pulled out of bushes and tracked to and searched for. And it was just a normal day. And I was just about to tell him what he needed to do, because he tried to jump over a fence and Finn pulled him down off a fence. And I was just about to tell him what he had to do for me to get Finn to let go. So he had to stop kicking my dog because he was kicking him. And he needed to remain calm, and then I would have let Finn go. And with literally just as I was about to say that to him, he lunged forward. And it turned out the stick wasn't the stick at all. It was the largest knife I'd ever seen. And he plunged it straight into Finn's chest. And he then pulled it out of Finn's chest and went for me. And Finn, dogs are masters of body language. You know, because of what you do with your Doga, dogs are masters of body language. And Finn knew that I was about to be in, you know, very serious danger. And he put himself in the way of that second thrust, which saved my life. No doubt about it. Saved my life that night. But Finn didn't then do what most animals would do in that situation and run off and find a bush to hide under to see if they could either sort their wounds or succumb to their wounds. He stayed there. He stayed in the fight. I didn't ask him to. I just had to trust that he would, because I would have been in grave danger. So Finn helped me disarm him. And then backup arrived, and I had to then ask Finn to let go of him, because he still had hold of him. And then we rushed Finn off to the vet to save his life.
My goodness.
Incredible.
That relationship, you must be so grateful for Finn. I mean, this is beyond... For someone to know, for an owner to know that their dog saved their life, I cannot imagine the feeling.
Oh, the bond. The bond between Finn and I is huge. It is very special. The bond that Finn and I have is incredibly special.
And I can see it when you're on stage together. I did really see that. And, you know, Finn is there with his bowl and everything. But I saw the relationship was so different than any other kind of, you know, these show dogs that show up. And you see they're all trained to pull cards and pick cards and dance around and all this. And you just don't feel the relationships there. But I really believed you in every step of the way. The way Finn looks up to you, the way you moved, and then he wants to go, and then he picks, you know. Is there something important that we need to know about Finn's Law? What is the next step now with Finn's Law? Where are we going with this?
So there's still a few holes in Finn's Law. So there's still a few islands and principalities around the UK that don't have it. And obviously we'd love for other places in the world. I say we helped inspire Florida, but there are other places around the world that need to have a look at how they look after their service animals. We obviously need help raising money with the Thin Blue Paw. But the next thing for the Finn's Law project, or the final chapter for the Finn's Law project, is to increase the maximum sentences that are available. So even if we'd had Finn's Law in place when Finn was attacked, the maximum sentence that his offender could have had for plunging that knife into his chest and nearly killing him was a 6-month sentence. So what we're saying is that's one of the lowest animal welfare maximum sentences available in the world. And we're an animal loving nation, which is insane. So we're asking for an increase in that to a much better maximum of 5 years. Admittedly, 5 years probably isn't enough. It should be more like 10 or 15, but it's certainly a start and way better than 6 months. So that's where we're at next. And we're in Parliament at the moment, and we're lobbying, and we're asking for parliamentary time to have it heard. So that's what we need. But we're asking for the Speaker of the House and the leader of the House to make time, which is very difficult. I understand that. But this is a bill that's supported by millions of people around the country. It's supported by, we've been in contact with all 650 members of Parliament. And at the moment, I think we're well over 500 MPs supporting. So it's supported by nearly everybody in the House as well. We just need to find that time. And it isn't much time we're after. I know time's short, but without polite pressure from the public, we might not find that pressure this time around, but we can push together and see if we can get something moving.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi, I'm Vernon Kay.
And I'm Holly Mackay.
And we're here to tell you about our brand new podcast, Parenting Past the Pandemic, brought to you by Aviva.
Yes, we're going to be delving into a whole heap of parenting topics from the generational gap to online safety.
And some of the big topics which have come up through the pandemic, such as helping to manage our kids' anxieties and how we can affect the world they'll grow into.
Parenting Past the Pandemic. Find it wherever you found this podcast.
Now, have you done yoga before, Dave?
No.
It's funny because a lot of trainers and breeders, they think I'm completely, you know, barking mad when they hear dog yoga, but it's very misunderstood. In actual fact, it's human yoga and the dog is there and it's nothing that you have to do and pull and push or anything. A lot of it is actually to do with your own breathing, and maybe you can understand that when you breathe correctly, your body odor changes. I mean, the adrenal glands settle, so the dog can smell you differently, but also your body language changes. So that's why yoga is a great thing for a dog. They absorb. I mean, do you, I can tell you that now. I mean, great question. My belief is just that your central nervous system, your fight and flight, is directly connected to your dog's fight and flight. I think your dog picks up on your fight and flight.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, there you go. So that is kind of the proof of the pudding. So when you do the yoga and you do the poses and the breathing and the stretching and you come into the present moment, the mind stops thinking, then your central nervous system can replenish. So the fight and flight, the sympathetic, parasympathetic central nervous system replenishes, meaning the dog can again feed off that and feel that centeredness. People don't understand, watching TV and stroking your dog is not yoga. It is an active thing it's very different because your attention is watching TV. So you're in the future. Your attention is, that's not relaxing. Yoga is a process where you move into releasing and settling and grounding and whatever, and a peaceful state. But it is a process, and most of, anyway, so we're going to try a bit of let's do some breathing today. And where is Finn? I can't believe I'm actually doing this with you today when Finn, oh my God, I'm so honored. Let me get Robbie
sat quickly. Next to me on the sofa.
Now, does Finn respond to your breathing? Is he quite vocal, Finn? Because I'm quite happy if he's vocal and barks, so we can hear Finn in the background. Does he get quite vocal?
He can be. He's quite chilled. I mean, he's a German Shepherd, so he can be. German Shepherds are quite known for being vocal. He's quite chilled out at the moment, but we can get him to say hello for sure.
Really? So what I want to do is I want to do something funny today. People think this is crazy, but we're going to do, and I'm sure you're up for it, Breath of Fire, because I want to see how Finn responds when you change your breathing pattern. Now, Breath of Fire is really good because to release CO2 and you get oxygen back into your lungs. So just keep your spine upright and, you know, just relax your feet, maybe settle your feet on the ground so your spine can be straight. Don't want to slouch for this. And perhaps just let Finn be for a second and just take the hands down to your side and just relax your shoulders. And you can be as loud as you want for this one. We're going to inhale through our mouth, open mouth breathing like this. So just think of, just a relaxed mouth. And you're just going to go like the ocean. You're going to create this sound. Okay. So think of
yep.
And again, inhale. Now the key is, Dave, is to lengthen your inhale. Slowly inhale from your tailbone into the crown of your head. And then exhale. We should have some yoga music playing in the background, so it's going to come on, and that's good. And again, inhale. And again, exhale. Is Finn still lying down, or is he looking at you?
He is. No, he's okay. Very chilled.
No, he hasn't even bothered to look at you. He's just chilled, completely chilled, eyes closed. We're going to change that breath any second now. So take a deep inhale. And exhale. Now we're going to inhale. And I just want you to tighten your body, hold the breath, and just make a fist and really tighten up the body, tighten up the body. Really squeeze the buttocks, crunch your face. Tighten up, tighten up, tighten up, really create that, you know, become really rigid, 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 hold, 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 and exhale, release, and sigh. Good. And then again, ready, inhale, slowly inhale. And now tighten up the body, hold the breath, squeeze, just make yourself really rigid. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, even more, hold it, squeeze and exhale. And a big sigh, just relax your shoulders. Big sigh with me, inhale. And now just move your shoulders. Just go up and down with your shoulders. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Just relax your shoulders. Up, down, up, down, up, down. And just keep breathing through your nose as you're doing this. Up and down, up and down. Crunch your shoulders. Up and down. Just release your shoulders. There you go. Up and down, up and down. Very nice. Good. Very nice. That's it. And now just flick your hands. Flick your hands from your wrists. Just flick it, flick it, flick it, flick it, flick it, flick it, flick it. Taking all the tension out of the wrists. Is he awake, Finn? Is he looking?
He is, yeah. He is.
Very good. Okay, let's keep moving. Flick, flick, flick the wrist. We just want to, good. Very nice. And then place your hands on the top of your shoulders and just hunch the shoulders up and then down. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up. Good. Very nice. Really pull up into your neck, the elbows to your ears, and then release up and down. Up. This is just to open up.
One of my other dogs is jumping on me.
Good. This is good. Good. Very nice. And now just release the arms down to the side again and just notice the difference in your body. Just become still. And now try and breathe through your nose. This is the yogic breathing. So you keep your lips closed and you just breathe through your nose. Slowly inhale. Oh, good. Exhale. And inhale. Oh, you've got a good pair of lungs here. Exhale. Very good. Inhale. And exhale. Now, are you ready for the next one? The next one, you're going to sniff. You're going to sniff. And imagine there's a fly on the tip of your nose. And you're going to sniff that fly away. And as you sniff, you pull your belly in. So it's going to sound like this. And it's a strong sniff. Really strong. Sharp. Through the nostrils. You ready? And just relax the arms side. And the dogs may jump up now. So let's get ready. And ready? Go for it.
Yep.
Keep going, and again. Good. Focus on the. This is good. This is good. Keep going. Very good. Keep going. They're going to go nuts.
They're being licked.
That's it. Keep going. They're going to lick your nose now.
She's joining in.
This is great. 10 more seconds. And you're allowed to laugh in yoga. It's fine. Good. Very good. And what you're going to do now is inhale through your nose. Inhale through your nose and hold your dog that is looking at you. And just hold your dog and exhale. Really breathe and make eye contact. Inhale, breathe through your nose. Keep the eye contact. Show them that you're breathing. Exhale. And then breathe into your dog. Inhale. And exhale. And inhale. And exhale. And just
calm down now.
Can you see how you're influencing them with the eye contact and the breathing? You can literally calm them down through the breath and the eye contact. So this is something that reassures them that everything's okay, you know? But in the same time, you should feel like you've taken more air into your lungs as well.
Oh, yeah, good. Definitely.
You might feel a bit dizzy now. That's quite normal with breath of fire. So we're going to have one more. And this is a lot of fun. This one is sticking your tongue out. And this is just fun. And you're going to pant like a dog. So this is breath of fire. Your tongue is out. And you just have to make a nice, happy doggy face. And you're going to go...
I
And they might start barking as well.
I'm getting kissed again.
Brilliant. Yeah. I always get a French kiss from Robbie. What about, is Finn joining in?
No, he's gone back to sleep.
I can't believe, well, he's retired. It's fine. Just focus on your navel. Let your tongue hang out. You're doing great. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Deep breath. Inhale. Exhale. Again, inhale. Really draw the breath up into your lungs. Very good. Exhale. Oh, I can hear it. Inhale. Exhale. And I just want you to place your hand on your chest for a second and just feel your heartbeat. Oh, you can even put it on your pulse. Just notice your pulse, your heartbeat. You might find your heart is racing a tiny bit. Now slow it down through the breath. Then I just want you to feel your dog's pulse. Anywhere you can place your hand on your doggy's heart rate, you know, your heart, his heart, and just maybe tune in with his pulse and just breathe through your nose now and see if you can affect his pulse through your breath, through the control of your breathing. So let's come back to that breathing through the nose. And make the breath as long as you can, slightly keeping a contraction in the back of the throat. So it sounds a bit more like Darth Vader, the breath. Closed lips. You can aim for maybe 5 counts in and 5 counts out. Just noticing maybe any tension in the jaw. So the jaw is a very important part for the dogs. They hold a lot of tension around the jaw, and maybe for retired dogs, what's really nice is to massage around their jaw. So what you can do just quickly, just to understand the technique, just want you to breathe and massage your own jaw. And just go into your jaw with your fingers and circulate the back of your jaw so you understand what you can do with Finn. Just with your thumbs and index, just keep breathing and massaging the jaw. Can you feel where the tightness is? It's pretty much the lower jaw, all the way into the ear. This is where we're holding incredible tension through the spine. The spine and the jaw is completely connected to the hips. So a really nice thing is to massage Finn right around that area. And guess what? Because they're on all fours, the dogs, they hold even more tension in that area than humans. So something to think about next time. Yeah. Ear massages are great, but the jaw is one of the most important points. And I think with German Shepherds, most importantly, because they've been trained, also all the training that you've given them, I think they're quite tight around that area as well. And with his arthritis, I'm sure you will know the massage techniques. So when you do the massage techniques with Finn and you're doing the massage, maybe use your own breathing with the massage. Right. So, I mean, we could go on forever. You are so amazing. I love it because you're such a great student of Doga. I can feel that you've been teaching a lot and training as well.
I was just going to say, when we do the massage of an evening, it's really important to him. And actually, we do, if I sigh, he sighs. And if he sighs, I sigh. So obviously, there is that breathing connection and relaxing connection between us all our dogs.
Yes. Oh, my God, Dave, we should do a DVD together. Oh, I can see the
lovely
future.
Thank
this
you.
This is amazing.
Well, that was awesome.
Awesome, Dave.
I'm relaxed now. That was really needed.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And do you know, when the day happens, please, I want to meet you and Finn, and you will join us probably in a Doga class in one of those big fundraiser events. I'm sure we will meet, and
brilliant.
If there's ever a big Doga event, we will invite you. It would be such an honor to have you.
Thank you. It's lovely to talk to you. It's been incredible.
Yes, it's been incredible too. Thank you so much. And I will bow my head to Finn. I will say Namapaw. Namapaw.
Pleasure. Thank you for having us. Namapaw.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with My Dog. Make sure you hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, then please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. It helps others to find us. And talking of spreading the news, please tell another person about the podcast and help us reach more people and dogs. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week. Namapaw.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.